a good team and go down and play some games.
Subsequent action.
Sure. I want to remind you right now that, yeah, you may have the same team from last year, but you can't cheat your way to the pennant again. You can't do it. Oh, you can't do it again. In this talk, oh, we're going to get to the World Series again. Oh, stop it. The more I really think about it, the more I listen to this, it really makes me mad, because here's the thing. Again, if you listen to this whole clip again, not once did he deny it. And I'm going to start it all over again, because this time, this clip here, we have a better audio. And I really want you to listen to every single thing that he says and how he answers the question. Hit it.
It's a tough situation. As a team, we have to stay together and go through this as a team like we've been doing always.
How do you move forward, do you think?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know how, but you got to move forward. We're going to stay together as a team. I haven't changed my opinion about my teammates. They're the best team I ever had. And like I said, we're going to stay together. We're going to hold our hands and move forward to the next season.
I'm
disappointed for what happened with Jeff and AJ.
Well, yeah. I feel bad for them. They were good guys. They show up every day to do their job. But like I said, once again, we have to keep going, move forward. We don't have any choices right now.
The report said that the design scaling arrangement is player driven and player arranged. Can you comment about your knowledge of that arrangement and your thoughts about the fact that it's not resulted in these penalties against the
Yeah, I think that the time to comment about that it will come. A little early for me to say something about it.
What about this talk of buzzers that kind of gained steam?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, MLB did their investigation. They didn't find anything.
Jose, what would you say to people that would think your 2017 MVP is now tainted in some way because of what happened?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that believe I'm the MVP, a lot of people that don't believe the MVP. Like, it's a lot of people that believe you're a good guy, or a lot of people believe you're a bad guy. So it's really hard to handle that sometimes.
How upset were you when that stuff came out on social media about you wearing an electronic device?
No, that wasn't upset, to be honest. Even though it wasn't true, you know, we all know that you know, some people made that up. And like I said, the best thing that happened to me was the MLB investigate that, and you know, they didn't find something. But at the same time, you know, you can't control everything, you know. So you control what you can control, and I'm ready to move forward. And we have, like I always said, we have a great team. We have almost the same team that we had last year. We lost Garrett, you know, great pitcher, but we have a good team, and we go there and play some games.
So, and listening to all of that, the two things I take away from this is that, one, you speak as if that you are the victim here. And it's like, no, you're not the victim. And two, I feel like, and I walk away feeling you refuse to take any sort of responsibility for your role in all of this. And that part in itself is disgusting. Truly disgusting, no matter how you slice and dice it. Because I am amazed, seriously, that we're at a place now where, again, like I said during the first hour, there's no sense of accountability whatsoever. None in Major League Baseball, especially in terms of this situation. And it's disgusting. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Glad you can join us on the second hour of The Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. We're going to pause for station identification on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, and as well as the PSA for the 5 o'clock hour. Stay tuned.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
There's something very dangerous in your home.
It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item.
Hey, hon, do me a favor and hold the ladder for me.
I have a better idea. Let's just call somebody to clean the gutters.
To scoop out a few leaves? I'll be down in a heartbeat. Whoa! Ow!
No!
Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org, a public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep your bones safe, strong, and well-connected.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Dust Free Farm Radio at 5:15. Mike Comito on the writer for the Los Angeles Kings will join us live on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusfee Farm Radio. Stick around for that. But for now, we are going to take a break. When we return, we're going to get started on some NHL talk leading into the interview. And it's going to be a good one. Can't wait. Can't wait. So stick around. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Freeform Radio.
He said he would. Oh, he's leaving.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show here at 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio. We are going to be joined by Mike Comito in a few minutes. He'll call into the show to talk some hockey and as well as discuss the latest happenings in the National Hockey League. We have a lot to talk about, and I definitely cannot wait to get into it furthermore with him. So stay tuned. The interview should be starting around 5:15 and whatnot, so it's going to be good. So, but until then, we're going to talk some hockey, and as it pertains to the Boston Bruins. And I got to tell you, there is something to be said about looking at where you are currently in the NHL standings, especially here we are in mid-January. And I just hope you realize, especially because the reason why I bring this up now is that because, number one, the Bruins after Tuesday's game, they will go on their bye, which will include the All-Star weekend. Because after Tuesday, the next game won't be for 10 days when they go to Winnipeg. So tomorrow they're in Pittsburgh, take on the Penguins, and then return home Tuesday night for a game against the Golden Knights. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So, I mean, right now they're in terrific standing right now. I mean, in terms of the league standing, of course, in the Eastern Conference and so forth. I definitely think that this team will be okay in the end. I really wholeheartedly believe it. And plus, if you're a Bruins fan, you can't help but to feel actually pretty encouraged by what you saw in the game against Pittsburgh just a couple of nights ago on Thursday night. And even though the Bruins placed David Backers on waivers, and he's cleared waivers now, so he's been placed on assignment. He is now down in Providence. Us live on the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. It's been a while, my friend, but definitely happy to have you back on the program. How are you doing on this Saturday evening?
Doing well. Thanks for having me back. It's pretty snowy where I am right now. I'm calling from Sudbury, Ontario. It's a lot of snow, so staying inside tonight. So good time to chat.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, interestingly enough, tonight, we're actually going to get snow here in Boston. And although it's not the typical amount that we are accustomed to getting, but it's only 2 to 3 inches. But nonetheless, either way, a good night to stay in and enjoy some good hockey and hockey
Absolutely.
Talk. So let's get to it. As it currently stands in the NHL season, it's been a wild one at that. And I got to start off by asking you the following. What's the deal with all of these coaching changes? I mean, the latest one, Gerard Gallant being fired from Vegas, in a year in which that we've seen an unprecedented amount of changes in the league at the head coaching position. What's your take on that? Especially considering that we've seen some high profile names go down over the last few months, especially names that such as Mike Babcock, Peter DeBoer. Now Gerard Gallant.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most, crazy or most interesting storylines of the season so far. I mean, it's not that long ago. I think maybe just a few seasons ago, we had one of the first seasons in a long time where no coaches were fired. And then now we're in a season right now where basically every coach is getting fired. And especially the most recent one with Gallant, being turfed in Vegas, is, I think, a real head-scratcher for a lot of people, given the fact that he's had such a good record there. He's had a lot of success, especially in that inaugural season where he took basically a bunch of, out tasks and took him to the Stanley Cup final. So And we don't know how much of that comes down to ownership, you know, now expecting that every year that's the type of success you're supposed to have. But ultimately, I think, you know, whatever played a factor in that, it's just, I don't think he'll be out of a job for too long. I mean, you saw again in other places where there's extenuating circumstances where other coaches were fired. But then even in San Jose with Pete DeBoer, like ultimately, you know, maybe he was there too long and, you know, they start to lose the room. But ultimately, he was a good coach. And I think what's been going on in San Jose since has kind of vindicated that, you know, you can't rest all those issues on your coach there either.
And which leads me to the next question, because you see Vegas, and especially where they are in the standings, and I agree with you, it's shocking because I couldn't believe that, considering where they are in the standings right now, very much in contention in the Western Conference, considering the slow start that they've gotten off to this season, and which leads me to wonder, with the coaching change, what exactly was Vegas thinking? Were they expecting that this change could potentially lead to a St. Louis Blues-like deep playoff run like what happened a year ago when they replaced Mike Yeo with Craig Berube? Or do you think they just needed a change in philosophy in a way that the players were being coached in terms of being able to get the most out of the players?
Yeah, I would think that probably it'd probably be the latter, with maybe looking for a change in philosophy or a change in voice. Obviously, the team has had some struggles this year, you know, early on, but I think they've righted the ship for the most part. I mean, like you mentioned, they're within a few points of a first place in the Pacific, right? So it's not as if this is a team that's on the outside trying to look back in and thinking that maybe we just need somebody else to kind of take us to the next level. They're very much within they're in the hunt, right? And so I think ultimately you kind of do that at this point of the season. Hopefully, maybe there was something going on behind the scenes with ownership where they felt it was time for a change. For a variety of reasons, but ultimately they're still getting a good coach coming in with Pierre DeBoer, who's obviously very familiar with the Golden Knights, given the recent playoff battles that the two teams have had.
We'll talk with Mike Comito, writer for the Los Angeles Kings, live on the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Boston. I got to ask you, here we are a week before the NHL All-Star Game. It's a week from tonight in St. Louis. And I enjoy doing this because one of the great things about hockey is that you can always look back at a season or a particular period in a season with some sort of like perspective. And I gotta ask you, what are the two or three most surprising headlines from this NHL season thus far, given that we're essentially approaching the 50-game mark out of 32 games of the regular season up at this point for a lot of teams?
Well, I think we already covered the coaching one, so I won't cheat and say that one, because I think that one is definitely the one that definitely comes to mind for sure, given all the changes that we've had across the league. But I mean, I think you and I kind of mentioned this offline, so I'll kind of use this one as well, maybe to kind of talk about that. But I mean, for me, it's not a surprise, but the fact that Ovechkin is still scoring at Ovechkin-like numbers is definitely one of the more interesting ones for me that I'm always watching. He's always been a player that I'd like to watch, even though I'm a Capitals fan, but I'm definitely an Ovechkin fan. And, you know, we're talking today, he scored another hat trick today, so now he's up to 34 goals in 49 games a season, right? So that puts him on a pace for 57-goal season. Ultimately, he's not going to end up playing all the goals this season because he's going to have to serve that one-game suspension for skipping the All-Star break again. But I think just the fact that he's still doing this, right? I mean, I think every season we go into it, you know, we figure he's going to slow down at some point because the body does, and I mean, he does play a pretty hard game. But for the most part, he's remained pretty durable, and he's still, you know, scoring at a 50-plus goal season pace, right? And so it just kind of begs the question, you know, as he starts to tick more of these goals off, like right now, he's 222 away from Wayne Gretzky. You know, so given his pace right now, it's realistic that he could get down to 200 away by the end of the season. And then, you know, from that point, I don't think it's that out of the realm of possibility that he could do it, right? It's just a matter of how long does he want to keep playing hockey for, how does his scoring touch hold up, all these sorts of things. But thinking that this season is definitely kind of a look towards that, saying that I think it's now more than ever a realistic possibility.
You mentioned Ovechkin in terms of his scoring prowess, and one thing that has impressed me the most on being a long time fan of his is is that he has been incredibly consistent, scoring 30-plus goals for how many years in a row, and he's tied with, I believe, with Mike Bossy with the most 50-goal seasons in NHL history. And you hit on a question that I actually wanted to ask in terms of his realistic shot of chasing down the great Wayne Gretzky, but there's also an element of concern. And the concern that comes from me is that Washington, they just signed Nick Backstrom to that 5-year, $46 million contract extension. Ovechkin's contract expires after the 2020-2021 season. So my question to you is, how realistic do you think that the Washington Capitals will be able to solve their cap space in terms of being able to extend Ovechkin beyond next season?
Well, I think, yeah, at this point in his career, given everything he's done, you know, for the league, for the game, for the franchise, that I would think that they're going to try to do whatever they need to do to keep him around. Unless, of course, at that point, you know, he's looking for a change, but I don't think there's any indication that he'd want to go anywhere else at this point of his career, especially with Backstrom, you know, getting locked up moving forward as well. So, I mean, I think it's one of those things where, you know, we're not that far removed from there's always, you know, the odds. Ovechkin trade rumor here and there, especially after the Caps have once again, you know, failed to get through the first or second round. But ultimately, you know, winning kind of helps that. And so they're definitely having another great season. And so who knows what ends up happening through the latter half of this regular season into the playoffs. But I would think that, you know, given how important he is to that club and to hockey and Washington, that you'd want to keep him around, right? And ultimately, that question of him getting, you know, reaching Wayne Gretzky's, you know, milestone, like, That is an interesting question, because ultimately you would think that he would be doing it in a capital sweater just because that's what we've been accustomed to seeing. But given how many more seasons he would have to play to do that, I guess it's possible that, you know, he might be doing it in another uniform, but it's really kind of hard to picture him in anything but a cap sweater.
For those that are just joining live, we're talking with Mike Comito, hockey writer for the Los Angeles Kings, here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, greater Boston area. Also, in terms of the Kings now, one thing that I'm most curious about, as we both know that the Kings are well out of contention for a playoff spot in the West, and I've had this this curiosity about the organization in terms of its plans moving forward, because here we are, it's seemingly year three in which that the Kings have. They have been like below standards in terms of what they're able to do, and I understand that the organization has been in a little bit of a rebuild around like the core pieces like Anze Kopitar, Drew Doughty, and Dustin Brown, Alec Martinez, and so forth. But the question that I have, especially as they head into tonight's matchup against the Philadelphia Flyers, what exactly is the organization's plans moving forward? And being able to ensure that the Kings are able to still contend while rebuilding and getting the pieces together for potential return to relevance in the Western Conference.
Yeah, no, the season is certainly a transition right now, but I think that the talent is well stocked in the prospect pool. The Kings have one of the deepest prospect pools in the NHL right now by far. You've seen it, a lot of those players on display at the World Juniors with Alex Turcotte, Arthur Kaliev, who's actually playing for the Hamilton Bulldogs in the Ontario Hockey League, which is where the Wolves play, which is a team that I also write for down here. And he just shoots the lights out as well. He kind of has a lot of Alex Ovechkin tendencies, but he's also very good at setting up some of his line mates as well. So he's somebody where you start to look down the road to, you know, the 2-3 year mark, and you're going to have all of these guys kind of coming up that the Kings have been developing and drafting. And so I think that's a big piece of this transition as well, is that, again, a lot of teams kind of go through these cycles, especially after they win, where obviously, you know, talent gets depleted. You have to move guys out. You lock up key guys, and then that, you know, leads to some shifting. But I think the Kings have done a really good job at drafting and developing, which will ultimately which will allow them to hopefully get through this cycle where they're obviously, you know, at the bottom of the league. But then by bringing up these guys and, you know, still having some of those core pieces with them to mentor them through and play with them, like, you would hope that that'll get them to the next phase where they're going to be competitive again and for a long time with a lot of these really talented and good young players that are coming up.
And one thing that that's come up, and keeping the Kings related for another moment, the NHL.com, they've been doing a terrific series talking about some of the most memorable moments of the past decade in the National Hockey League. And one of them that's come up was a topic of series of the decade of the 2010s. And the series that was selected was the classic 2014 Western Conference Final between the Blackhawks and the Kings. Do you agree with that assessment of that being the best playoff series of the previous decade? If not, who would you select?
No, I would actually agree with that. And it's funny that you say that, because I did, for the Kings before the new year, I did a top 10 moments of the past decade for the club. And obviously, you know, winning the Cup in 2012 and 2014 were pretty gimme answers, so they were on there. But one of the things I did include as one of the top 10 moments was that series against Chicago. Because whether or not you were a Chicago fan or an LA fan, it's arguably one of the greatest playoff series of all time. And so we're not that far removed from, I remember watching those games, especially that triple overtime thriller. And there was another game where, you know, it was just end-to-end, breathtaking overtime where anything was possible, right? And they just kept going. There was, I think, in one of those games that I kind of got into a little bit of details, it was either game 3 or 4 where they went almost 9 minutes without a whistle. It was just end-to-end insanity, right? And again, in a playoff game, and especially an overtime game with the birth of the Stanley Cup final at stake, it was just incredible to watch. I mean, I don't know what it'd be like to watch that as a Kings or a Hawks fan at the time. I can't, it's hard to imagine what that kind of stress would do to you as somebody who's invested in the team. But I think for a lot of us who, you know, maybe weren't necessarily invested in those two teams, but were interested in great playoff hockey, it's definitely one of those series that I think we'll remember for a long time, is just as how incredible that play was during that series.
I would agree there, because, and for this one reason, I can't think of any other playoff series, and even as a longtime Bruins fan, thinking of a more insane series in terms of just great all-around hockey, great defense, pretty solid goaltender between Corey Crawford and Jonathan Quick, and especially considering that those two goaltenders dominated the West for like a 5-year stretch, and it's awfully hard to pick against that. I mean, although there's only one other series that I would say that would challenge on that as being the series of the decade, in my humble opinion, is I would say the series this is going back to 2012, the Eastern Conference finals between the Rangers and the Devils, in a sense because of the regional rivalry, but also in that region, in the New York metropolitan area, there's always has been this discussion of who's better between Henrik Lundqvist or obviously Marty Brodeur, who is towards the end of his dominance and so forth. So I think they've nailed this one pretty well in my opinion. Now, the question I have for you is this: in terms of for tonight's games, there's a couple of really good ones on Hockey Night in Canada tonight. Chicago, Toronto, 7:00 on CBC and NHL Network stateside, as well as Vegas, Montreal, over on City. What are one or two headlines that you look forward to in terms of the 7:00 games between Chicago, Toronto, or Vegas, Montreal? I'll give you mine real quick. Vegas, Montreal. I do wonder, at what point does Montreal make a change at the head coach position? Because there has been increasing pressure to make a change and replacing Claude Julien. And for Vegas, first game since the firing of Jared Gallant, how does the team respond? And in terms of the Chicago-Toronto game, I'm curious as to at what point, when does Toronto finally say enough is enough? We have to institute some type of systematic defense, because this run and gun style of offense that they've been playing isn't going to get them anywhere if they're trying to make a deep run in the playoffs. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think those are good things to watch for as well tonight. I was going to say that obviously that first game coming up that I'm going to be, I think, more invested in as an unabashed Leafs fan is obviously the Austin Matthews versus Patrick Kane. They had that great game last season where they traded off goals against each other, and so we'll see what the two of them are kind of, you know, continue that kind of that trade off again tonight. I think obviously Austin Matthews has been shooting out the lights as of late. You know, he's not that far off from the league lead in goals. Like I think, as you mentioned as well, is out of time. That's great, but ultimately, the team does need to work on tightening up defensively. And I think that's not necessarily going to be something that's going to happen, just based off of a system change or the talent they have now. I think that ultimately, part of this is going to be, there's been some rumblings of what are they going to do. Is Cal Dubas going to make a splash to try to shore up that defense heading into the playoffs? And so that'll be something that'll be interesting, but ultimately that's something that's going to, I think, work itself out over a longer stretch, because I think you're right, this is not the type of playoff hockey that is going to be sustainable. They're going to have to be able to, to clamp things down, but then at the same time still continue to drive that offense. And then in the Montreal game, yeah, that's an interesting point, because we're at the point now where you're starting to hear the calls for Julien, but ultimately it's one of those things where, it's always a tendency, it's always a, not a requirement, but obviously in Montreal, they want their head coaches to be bilingual. And so, in terms of bilingual head coaches right now, he's at the top. I think Guy Boucher, I don't know if he's employed right now or what he's doing, but I don't know if he's starting to, to potentially eye that as a possibility for him to go. But yeah, it's interesting to see how long that'll kind of go before they decide to make a change. Ultimately, I think there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's beyond what Julien can do behind the bench, but it will be interesting again with Max Pacioretty. It's always fun to see how players play against their former teams and see if he has one of those money on the board performances tonight, because he's getting up getting to play against his old club. So either way, yeah, a lot of fun hockey to watch tonight, and with the snow coming down, really no reason to go out and do anything else.
I would agree, and we saw one of the most. It depends on who you if you have a rooting interest, but we saw one of the most outrageous, if not most memorable, shootout attempt of all time, depending on if you are a Marchand fan or if you're a guy who absolutely loathes Brad Marchand. And when seeing this, what were your thoughts in terms of Brad Marchand missing that shootout attempt? I mean, I've never seen, in all my life watching hockey, I've never seen a guy literally just flat out miss a puck that's at center ice waiting for it to be retrieved for a shootout attempt since the rule was instituted. It was just downright comical. What are your thoughts?
He's definitely going to go down as probably the greatest whiff of all time in NHL history. It's one of those things where, because it's Marchand, obviously he's an incredible player, so it's not as if that's anything but just an unfortunate accident for him. But you could see how it united the hockey world from, people who don't like Brad Marchand and people who just couldn't believe how ridiculous this was. And I think that was the next morning I woke up and I tweeted something that said good morning, and it was that video, and you could tell who's liking those tweets, right? It's not Bruins fans, it's people of teams who aren't a fan of Marchand, but ultimately he's still a great player. And, I think I think as of, let's see, another game recently, it was either last night or the day before, where he had another, he came in and he kind of blew the shot as well. And I think he's trying to maybe have a little fun with it. He put something on Twitter to the effect of hands are missing or lost. If found, please return, right? So kind of leaning into it a bit to say that, the last couple of games have been a little rough for him, obviously with that big whiff in the shootout and then, missing a pretty good shot, a goal attempt the other game, that I think he's realizing that maybe he's just going through a bit of a rough patch. But, yeah, no, he's certainly a character, and he definitely makes the game more interesting.
I got to ask you, now with the second half of the season unofficially approaching next weekend, what are some things that you are, let's pretend you have a crystal ball in front of you. What type of fireworks are you predicting for the second half in terms of a trade, perhaps, considering that the trade deadline is a month from now, or a team that is like at near the bottom of the conference or the leagues? Let's say, for example, like a team like a Columbus or Philadelphia gets hot and makes a deep run. Like, any predictions you have for the second half of the season coming up?
No, that's a great question. I would say that, from my vantage point, I think it's just interesting to see what kind of trades will happen, right? Because, ultimately, as teams start jockeying more and more for these playoff spots and trying to really shore up, I'd like to see a trade happen sooner than later. I think the big one, ultimately, I think a lot of teams wait, until just before the trade deadline, but ultimately sometimes it doesn't work. The players don't gel. There's not enough time to figure things out. So I'm kind of curious to see when that starts to happen, like when do we see another big one happen? There's a lot of targets out there who, you know, like, from my vantage point as a Kings writer or someone who writes for LAKings.com and as someone who cheers for the Maple Leafs, you know, two teams that come to mind for me is at what point does, what are the Leafs going to do? There's the talk of them potentially looking to get a defenseman. Obviously, that's very apparent that it's a need they have. But there's even, you know, always the talk of, does this team need a little more sandpaper, right? And so, you know, there's a backup goalie as well. So we can throw that in the mix. But just a couple names that come to mind is, you know, Chris Kreider on the Rangers is a target that I think a lot of people would want to have on their team. And then also Kyle Clifford on the Kings, who's somebody who's familiar with Kyle Dubas from his days in Sault Ste. Marie. Is that something that the Leafs try to bring in ultimately? I don't know who you would move out of that lineup in favor of somebody like Clifford with the skill set that he has and, you know, his play is kind of declining. But, you know, if you're looking for that edge, that might be somebody you bring in. And then ultimately, I forget what I was going with the other team that I said I had. Just trying to eye other. Well, I mean, I guess for the Bruins, I think the other one that's interesting, again, kind of linking back to the Kings, is that report a little while ago from Friedman that, you know, the Bruins seem to have like a deal in their back pocket for Tyler Toffoli that they could pull at the trigger on at any moment. So I don't know how that sits with Toffoli or the Kings when you hear something like that. But ultimately, he's a right winger that I think any team would want to add, you know, to their middle pairs getting ready to the playoffs. So that could be the Bruins. It could even be Edmonton, the Avalanche. All these teams are looking for, I think, some additional scoring depth. So it'll be interesting to see where players like Toffoli and even Alec Martinez on defense, if that becomes if somebody's able to pry him out of LA.
And last question I'll ask you is, when you look at some of the teams that are on the proverbial bubble, I mean, they're just a few points out of the eighth spot or the final spot in each conference or out of the wild card spot, if you will. For example, there's a couple of elite teams that comes to mind, and especially when I look at the Western Conference, Edmonton is a team of great intrigue where I feel like they're the type of team in which that they clearly have the talent that's good enough to contend for the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I think they will ultimately make the playoffs, but it just feels like they're missing something. What do you think Edmonton does in the second half of the season to address an area of weakness that the team has? Because, I mean, because right now it seems like the top line is pretty set, obviously, with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. But when you look at the bottom six, does it concern you, especially as a hockey fan, that they may be lacking thunder at the bottom six?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's obviously been a weakness for Edmonton for a long time, right? Especially ever since getting McDavid, is that, you know, at some point, like, you have to look back and see, like, have we squandered a lot of prime years right now, right? And so now with Ken Holland coming in this season. And there was reports that the team was obviously trying to look at the Taylor Hall situation as well before he ended up landing in Arizona. But they've got to do something. It's not enough now just to say, you know, we're just going to try to, you know, make things work with our current personnel. I think they've got to do more to provide him with additional support. I mean, as much as he's obviously a game breaker and the best player in the world, and then you've got Leon Draisaitl, who's, you know, coming off a 50-goal season, but those two guys can't do all of that on their own. And so at some point, you're going to have to kind of put your chips in the middle and maybe ante up and do something, you know, to kind of address that, right? Because eventually he's only going to get older, and you don't want to look back and think, well, what if we just would have kind of, you know, parted ways with, a prospect or a pick or something along those lines. So just try to get something there to get us into the next step, right? Because, you know, the NHL is better with him in the playoffs, and ultimately the NHL will be better with him winning in the playoffs and kind of moving towards hopefully getting a Stanley Cup one day. But ultimately, you know, that's not something he can do on his own, despite, you know, often night in, night out, you can kind of see him will the team, you know, to a win. But yeah, they've got to do something, and that kind of goes back to the last point of where are they going to go with who they're going to get to kind of shore up their offense in that second and third pair.
As always, phenomenal talking with you. That definitely much appreciated, and thank you so much for calling into the show. It's been an absolutely wild NHL season so far, and we're only just getting started, because we haven't even gotten to April yet. But it's going to be a fun stretch coming up, especially on the final couple of months of the regular season. Thank you so much.
No, my pleasure. Anytime. I'm sure hopefully we'll chat again, maybe before the playoffs, and kind of see where everything shakes out.
Absolutely. You got it. Thank you so much, my man. I'll talk to you very soon.
Sounds good. Stay warm.
That was Mike Comito, who joined us live on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. We're going to take a break. Coming up next, final thoughts. And it's been an absolutely crazy season thus far. I'll share with you some of my thoughts on what's been a crazy season so far in the National Hockey League. So stay tuned. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio. We'll be back in just a bit.
Stay young at heart.
Cause you'll never, never.
hear me now? Gonna, won't you hear me now? Gonna, won't you hear me now? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hearts of fire,
hearts of fire.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show here at 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. We've got about 12 minutes remaining left in the show. Just wrapped up the terrific interview with Mike Comito, hockey writer for the Los Angeles Kings on the Shukri Wright Show. And I want to share with you some of my thoughts on the season so far, not just as it pertains to the Bruins, but just the regular season so far in the NHL. It's been absolutely crazy. It really has. From milestones to controversies to really all of the firings. I mean, it's just been a very, very crazy first half of the NHL season so far. And what I mentioned in my last comment to Mike Comito was, you know, like, the fun hasn't even really started yet. It's been crazy so far, but we still got the whole second half of the season to come after the All-Star break. The final 2 months of the regular season, February, all of February, and you got all of March. And then you got the first couple of days of April before the Stanley Cup playoffs begins in April. Can't believe we're just only, 3 months away? But with that being said, it's been a lot of upheaval. There has been a bit of a tumultuous time in the NHL, especially when the whole Bill Peters allegations came out. That really rocked the NHL and its whole, especially when it came to revealing coaches who abused their players verbally and so forth, et cetera, et cetera. That definitely shed a light on a topic that has been long under the rug, so to speak, that hasn't really been talked about. So there's that. And not to mention also, you look around the NHL and just the amount of coaching changes that there has been. You know, for example, a guy like Bill Peters, who absolutely should have been fired and was fired. You know, you look at the coaching changes that have happened across the league, like John Haynes, Peter Laviolette, but Mike Babcock, Jared Gallant. Just to name a few, and it's been a crazy first half of the season where it's just been a lot of changes made and, you know, and so forth. And I just think that it's going to be really fascinating to see what happens next, in the NHL, especially we haven't gotten to the NHL All-Star, weekend, which is next weekend. The NHL All-Star game is next Saturday night. It's 8 o'clock Eastern on NBC. And I just think that we have yet to see the best of this season come. And I'm excited. I'm very excited. It's going to be very fascinating to watch if teams can really begin to, begin to like make moves and so forth in terms of divisional standings, you know, the wild card. I mean, even if you go back and you look at the wild card now, right now it's held the top two seeds in the East, Carolina, as well as Columbus holding down the top two seeds. But don't forget also, Columbus is tied with Philadelphia for the wild card, for the second wild card in the East. And Florida is only 1 point behind with 55 points. Columbia and Philadelphia's got 56 points in the East right now. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, teams that are like on the bubble, so to speak, like the Rangers, that's going to be real fascinating to see what happens there. Do they move Chris Kreider or does he stay a Ranger and so forth? That's a decision that the organization is going to have to make. You got Tampa Bay that's really heating up now. They're second in the Atlantic. The Bruins are still ahead. First in the Atlantic right now. They're up 6 points ahead of Tampa right now. Toronto, they're third in the division with 57 points. They got a game, as I talked about with Mike Comito here on the show, tonight at 7 on Hockey Night in Canada. That's also going to be on the NHL Network here in the United States as well. So there's a lot of lot of intrigue as well, especially right now, like the top team in the league right now as it currently stands in Washington. So that remains to be seen. But then you look in the West, you really got to believe that we haven't seen the best just yet in terms of like Vegas and so forth. Like, although they're tied for the first wild card spot with Vancouver, it's going to be interesting to see how Vancouver continues their solid season of progression so far. You know, like spearheaded by guys like Quinn Hughes, like Bo Horvat, and not to mention also, for example, not to mention like the goaltending has been solid so far. But they definitely have to play a lot better away from Rogers Arena in Vancouver if they're going to make a run for the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Like, you know, like I'd say the Pacific Division is what's going to be a lot of intrigue and a lot of fun to watch. Because right now, Edmonton, Calgary, and Arizona, the surprising team of the year in the NHL so far, the Arizona Coyotes, they're all tied on top of the Pacific. So it's going to be fascinating to see how it all shakes up, especially in the final two plus months of the season, you know. And I'm telling you, I have a feeling that the fireworks are going to really begin for the National Hockey League come February. Right now, we're getting more and more lukewarm, but we really haven't hit the best just yet. And especially with February rolling around and then the Goodall, so to speak, trade deadline coming in late February as well. I'm telling you, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, what moves are made, who does what. The Bruins, as it pertains to, do they go out and address secondary scoring, which they need to, and also they need to add a little bit of toughness as well. Not saying that you go out and you alter the roster altogether. No. What I'm saying is that do they go out and get like a big body of a winger and so forth, you know, add a little element to the game and so forth. That's going to be interesting to watch, you know? So that is all to keep an eye out for. And so forth for the Boston Bruins, as well as for the National Hockey League as well. Bruins, they're in Pittsburgh tomorrow, 12:30. That's nationally televised exclusively on NBC. The Celtics, they're home tonight. They are playing the Phoenix Suns. That's at 7 o'clock at the Garden. So definitely got a bit of a light night in terms of Boston sports. The Celtics just playing tonight. Bruins are playing tomorrow. So, and then plus on top of that, I'm keeping tabs on the latest on the cheating scandal in Major League Baseball as it pertains to the Red Sox and so forth. There was a column that I was going to get to in terms of Alex Spear that he wrote in the Boston Globe. Sorry I didn't get to that today, unfortunately. But I will talk about that on Monday. I'll be back on the air Monday afternoon, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, 3 to 5. I'll be back on the air on Monday afternoon, so stay tuned. It's going to be a jam-packed week, keeping track of anything breaking as it pertains to the Sox, new managerial hire, punishment for Major League Baseball. All of that will be on the table. Any developing stories, that'll be on the show this upcoming week. So that's going to wrap it up for now. Like I said, I'll be back on the air on Monday from 3 to 5. And while I'm at it, I'm going to add a couple of more programming notes. I'll be on the air Wednesday as well, next week Wednesday, 12 noon to 3 p.m. here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, as well as Thursday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and Friday, next week Friday, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. as well. So I'll be back on the airwaves on Monday. Stay tuned. Hope you all have a safe Saturday evening. If you're going to be out, be careful. It's going to be snowing tonight here in Boston. So be careful. Have a wonderful rest of your Saturday night. I'll see all of you on Monday. and look forward to speaking with you, the listener, as well. Thank you for tuning in. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. See you on Monday.